Welcome. You are listening to the Be a Better Being podcast, hosted by Michelle Zellner and Sasha Burscheid. Michelle and Sasha are here to give you information and inspiration to help you live your healthiest, happiest lives. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the show.
Greetings. Thank you for tuning into the Be a Better Being podcast. I'm Michelle Zellner, your host. And today, my guest and I are going to have a little fun. I think fun with our conversation, hopefully fun with you, and really hopefully what it's going to do is inspire you to go have some fun outside. So, Jenya, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for hosting me. Good to be here.
Yeah, well, you're doing something that I think is so important for people to not just do, but understand the full benefits of why you're going to want to do this, getting outside, why that's so important for our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Before we dive into that conversation, let's just give the listeners a little backstory on you.
Okay. So my background in terms of nature comes from outdoor adventures. My parents have been outdoor enthusiasts. I have been brought to kind of on the bank of the river as a child just to have a dinner or a picnic. And I have been doing backpacking, skiing, rafting, hiking, but climbing forever. And at some point after I became a personal development coach, I started seeing this connection between my personal growth and my outdoor activities. It started very simple. I just noticed that pictures, my photos, where I am happiest, they all are taken outside. It's like, huh, that's interesting. And at some point around 2018, I decided to dig into the science of that. Like, yeah, this is my personal experience. Is it just me? Or is there facts behind that and research? That's a little bit how it came out for me to be like I came to this realization that most of us, we don't understand what we're missing. We don't know what we're missing around nature because we don't know the facts. And it's almost tragic, I would say.
Well, we're going to dive into some of those facts, but I know the listeners are just dying to know, where is that accent from? Where is this woman from? So tell us a little bit about that story and when you came to the States and really started doing what you do now.
Okay. I was born in Siberia. It's a huge, vast, cold part of Russia. And I lived there until age 32. And at that age, I moved to United States, to Denver, Colorado, for a couple of years because my then husband got a job at this in the city. And that's how I realized, oh, Colorado is so cool. I want to live here forever. It didn't happen at that time. I had to move to Moscow and live there for 5 years with my family, then to Houston, Texas. I don't know, maybe I have this Texan accent as well.
That's probably what it is.
Definitely. So 7 years there, and 4 years ago, I moved back to Colorado, and that was realization of my long time dream, because I thought that Colorado is the place for me to be.
Well, I love that you have been in some very diverse environments, right? I mean, Siberia, Colorado, even the diverse nature of the outdoors here, and then Houston, which is nothing like any one of those two things, right? So how did you go from that, you know, that upbringing, being that outdoor enthusiast with your family, and then to still make that a thread throughout your life, living in these vastly different places?
That's a very interesting question. I will refer back to this idea that I noticed that my pictures are happiest than they're taken, if they're taken outdoors. So I think my upbringing was pretty, well, it was a totalitarian country. It has to have this effect on people. And my family was not the most democratic either. So my mom was very controlling. I didn't have much freedom, pretty much in my social life. But then I would go to mountains. That's where I would experience freedom. That's where I was at my best. And that became kind of the thread. So, and I was always looking, whenever I was leaving, whenever I was about to move to and find a place to live, I was looking for parks nearby or forests, some kind of nature where I can go to quickly. Even, I mean, Houston was interesting. I mean, here in Colorado, everyone hikes. In Houston, it's not a thing. I pretty much became a trailblazer leading hikes, and people were like, wow, you can hike in Houston? Well, yeah, you just need to drive outside. I mean, somehow it was coming to me naturally that I felt the need to be outside, and I felt the difference when I was doing that. And in 2018, I started doing this multi-day nature retreats. Then I would invite people, and they would spend 3, 4, 5 days somewhere in the wild nature, in a hut, for example. And it would include some hiking, some physical challenges, but also some time for reflection, for meditation, for journaling, and sharing this experience with each other. And that's when I noticed that, yeah, this has a profound effect on emotional well-being of these people. So it can be, the environment can be created for them to have the same effect. It's not just me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I believe, you know, it all goes back to how we were designed. We weren't designed to live in boxes, right? With concrete surrounding us and glass surrounding us and all that. And for a lot of people, that's what life is every day. You're in a box. You don't see daylight, not real daylight outside. You don't feel the earth. You don't feel the breeze on your face. You don't breathe in the outside air because you are spending 95% of your waking hours in a box, if not maybe 100%. It's certainly, you know, if people work from home and maybe don't leave their house for the day and maybe don't go outside, you know, just even those little things that on a day-to-day basis we're not doing anymore that we probably did a lot of at some other point in time can really start to have a dramatic negative impact on us. So it's no shock that when you go and spend some time outside, because that is where a human was designed to be, that you have all kinds of amazing benefits that come with that. So let's go into some of the science, because I mean, I can connect a whole bunch of dots, right? It's we're outside, but we're also disconnected from the hustle and bustle of our real lives. We're also maybe doing movement as well, because a lot of our time when we're in nature, we're actually moving our bodies as well. We know movement is medicine. Maybe we're also doing it with someone else. So there's their human and social connection that's happening. But let's take all of those compounding factors out. And let's just talk about being outside in nature and what that does scientifically.
Yeah, definitely. So you can think about this in layers. So the being outside has physical benefits, kind of benefits for your cognition and emotional health, and even higher for your spiritual well-being and higher needs like self-actualization. So I'm referring to Maslow pyramid of needs, as you can see. So the health benefits are the most known kind of effects of nature. It's scientifically proven that time spent on nature lowers our blood pressure and it decreases our depression. So you pretty much can think about time on nature as a very reliable and highly effective drug. So it also boosts our immunity. I don't know, I love this specific studies and how they are designed and the numbers. Just give you an example. After 3 consecutive days of hiking for 2 hours daily, the amount of killer cells and those cells which are responsible for our immunity increases 40%. There is no drug which does the same.
That's fascinating.
Design. The effect stays for 7 days. The same 40% increase in your immunity. And then a month later, the effect is still lingering, 15% increase in your immunity. Again, what kind of drug can make the same for us with no side effects and no cost? So Texas A&M University back in the 80s had a fascinating study led by Professor Roger Ulrich. This professor was kind of a sick child himself. That's where the idea of the study came from. He proved that there is a connection between the view from the window of intense care units and the health outcome of the patients. So the patients of intense care units where windows had the views to the trees and open spaces, they required less painkillers. Nurses reported that they kind of have less complaints and they're easier to deal with, and they recovered faster. They pretty much moved out of these intense care units faster than those who were in the same units, but their windows faced like in the yard or something like a brick wall, something like this. So that's just a few facts about physical benefits.
Well, and I think that point you just made is so important because not everybody has the opportunity to go hike in the mountains, right? Or maybe in my busy day, I don't have 3 days to get away and go reimmerse myself in nature. But seeing nature, seeing it through a window, even seeing a picture of it has tremendous impact on our brain, right? When we get that visual, the brain remembers like, oh yeah, that's my home, right? That's familiar. That makes me feel good. That is what heals me. That's what gives me energy and makes me want to be alive. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, well, that's great. But, you know, I live in the middle of a busy city in my 800 square foot concrete box, and I can't get out because to the nearest nature is 3 hour drive. And well, here's the thing. You can create it to the best of your ability. That's always what I want to remind people. You do the best you can in the real life that you have. But I think sometimes because we do have this idea that it's got to be this retreat, right? I have to go on a retreat to get the benefit. And obviously, that's amazing if we can do that. And if you'll notice, every retreat that I've ever seen, and certainly ones that I've led, they involve a beautiful place in nature. Right? We're not doing a retreat at your local Holiday Inn, generally. Right? No. We're getting out somewhere and we're doing things like hiking, or we're doing yoga outside, or we're going for bike rides, or whatever it is. There's always that element of beauty, the beauty of nature and the calming effects and the grounding effects and all of those things. So just aesthetically, wherever you live, how can we do the best we can to trick our brains into thinking that, oh yeah, we're right there at the edge of the ocean, right?
Absolutely. I don't think you are tricking your brain into thinking. I think the mechanism probably is a bit different, but I think what you're talking about is this benefits of nature for your cognition, for your creativity, for how your brain functions. Not only your physiology, like your body, your blood pressure, stress level. So there is this fascinating research. So the problem of mental fatigue is very acute right now. A lot of us were working in front of the computers. Like most of my clients, they're some sort of knowledge workers, accountants, programming engineers, project managers. And that requires a lot of directed attention. It's like, stay on the task, focus, look at this Excel spreadsheet or something like this. And this directed attention is a very valuable resource. It burns our mental energy very fast. So if this mental fatigue is not taken care of, then ultimately it leads into this burnout land, into depression, into high anxiety. We're not able to make novel decisions, like deal with situations which are not standard. So, and the best antidote for that is nature. And now what I mean by that, it can be even pictures. Again, there is a study which did exactly that. They gave study participants a mentally draining tasks for half an hour, like solving math problems or some difficult puzzles. And after that, they split participants into groups, and one group was shown restorative pictures of nature, like trees, mountains, grasses, beach, ocean. And the second half was shown, well, city streets, urban scenes. And then they asked them again to do this kind of mentally demanding tasks. And the group, which just viewed nature pictures, performed so much better. Like their mental capacity was restored after 5 minutes of looking at these nature photographs, pretty much. A similar study was done with, like, again, mentally draining tasks. And then part of the group was walking in a lush park, and part of the group was walking on city streets. Needless to say, the group which walked in a lush park performed better on cognitive tasks. That's nearby nature. You don't need to go to mountains necessarily to have the benefit of that. But I think what helps, if you are intentional about this, if we understand what we're missing or what benefits we can reap, it's really helpful, because being outside in nature environment is a brain boost. Again, low cost, very accessible brain boost. And if you want to talk about daily nature, I can expand on that. What does it even mean?
Yeah, let's talk about that in a moment. But I do want to say I can relate to that 100%. When I was writing my book, I mean, I did my most creative and best writing where it just flowed and flowed and flowed, either sitting out on my pool deck mm-hmm. or across the street in City Park and just sitting under a tree in the shade with my laptop. You know, you get out of your environment where there's so much constant stimulus, because your brain is constantly processing everything it's seeing and everything that's coming at it. And it makes total sense if you see a picture of a city. Well, we've all been in a city. We know it's noisy. We know there's lots of activity going on. So your brain remembers all of that. And all of that is more stress and more stimuli to process. Whereas you're in a park and you see a tree, or you see some grass or flowers or whatever, that's usually more peaceful and more calming. And so your brain can kind of deregulate that nervous system and reduce that release of cortisol and all the things. So, you know, it is something that, even as I live in my concrete box, I have a nice little patio right back there, and I do try to go eat my meals outside. It's so much easier just eat it inside and work while I'm eating. That's why when people are like, oh, I like to work through my lunch break, I'm like, you have to take a break. And it's ideal if you can, like, do it outside, right? Because I think you're right, we don't fully appreciate what we're missing. But when you do it regularly and you notice, like, oh, I do have more energy, I do have more creativity, I do have more mental clarity, I actually physically feel better, which means I'm probably going to function better and be more productive, then you can connect the dot that, oh, it's because I spent some time outside.
Yes. As any natural remedy, nature is not a quick fix. So you go and, you take a pill and you feel the effect, like, immediately and pretty powerfully. But with nature, it takes sometimes to notice that. You need to be attuned to yourself to notice that. But the effect is so more sustainable. So let's talk about the daily nature. I like to share with my clients the nature pyramid. It's a pretty much a pyramid which tells you how much nature do you need daily, weekly, monthly, and every year and what kind of nature. So daily, it's at least 20 minutes. And 20 minutes outside, that's a minimum to keep us physically healthy and emotionally sane. And by daily nature, I mean, it's a light. It's a like private and public architecture, which allows a lot of light. Literally, if you have a chance to move your desk, if you're in home office, close to the window, do this. Because Google had a research. They made a connection between productivity of their employees and the fact that the desk was located next to the window. Then indoor plants. That's another thing, small thing, gardening. Then walk in the, even on the street. If you can go to the park, even better. And never ever try to work for 8 hours straight. That's not how brain is supposed to work. So there is this neuroscience created this 90-20 rule. 90 minutes of intense work, then you use your directed attention, you stay on task, and that pretty much drains the battery of your brain. You need 20 minutes of restoration. And the best restoration is water your flowers. Step outside, do meditation, talk to real people about something outside of work. But don't take this 20 minutes on your phone, checking Facebook or, I don't know, messaging your friends. That's not restorative for the brain. So what else is daily nature? Pets. Yeah, naturalistic landscaping. The beauty is functional.
So. Things that are so very simple, right? I mean, yes. I remember I grew up, my mom actually had a plant business. So we had plants everywhere. And then we lived in the country. We had the garden, we had the yard, we had the flower bed. We had flower bed over here and a flower bed over there. Like, it was constant.
Yes.
And so as someone who grew up with that, we had the woods next to us. We would go play outside, build forts, make a scavenger hunt. In the winter, we made igloos and, you know, snow hills, and then we had the place for the pond, which was a pond for a while, and we explored all the things right over there by the hedgerow. I mean, it was pretty constant exposure in some way to being outside. And I know for so many people that is just not their reality. And, you know, I mean, technology plays a huge role. It's cold outside, let's sit inside and watch movies. Let's get on our devices, right? And it's such an addictive thing to do as well. But you know what? Nature is also addictive. And so once you start opening yourself up to that and introducing it into your life in those consistent ways, and you start to feel those benefits, then you're going to continue to do it. So let's go to the next step of the pyramid. So after daily, then what comes next?
It's weekly. So for weekly, the minimum which you are looking for is 1 hour. It can be a walk in the park, but you need to be intentional. It's very likely going to be your weekend. Then you can find this. It might involve some driving or traveling to the place where you can find more naturalistic environment. But again, it's a matter of intention. I mean, different nations have different attitudes towards how to spend their weekends. It's, I would say that Finland is a world leader in this way. So 78% of citizens of Finland engage in activities like berry and mushroom picking, meaning they all are outside. 78% of people spend their weekends in the forest, picking berries or mushrooms or just fishing or doing something like this. So, and then monthly, you are looking at least a weekend per month. Then you would like to find a place which feels more like wild nature. It can be either a very big park where like not everything is manicured and not every lawn is mowed. You're looking for pieces of wild nature, open spaces, grass fields, beaches. And that has this different effect on us. It's more about our emotions. it's definitely a thing in Japan. So I don't know if you ever heard about forest therapy or forest bathing.
Yeah, actually I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So Japanese name for that is Shinrin Yoku. And it's an official part of their preventive medicine. So you literally can go to the doctor and they would prescribe you a weekend at forest bathing camp. The last time I checked, which was a few years ago, they had 38 forest bathing camps all over Japan. And 25% of Japanese population actually at least once in their life engaged in these activities in their camps. So what do they do in these camps? They just spend quiet time on nature. They usually have forest therapy guides or therapists who would guide the activities like, look at the blade of the grass for 10 minutes. Or touch the bark of the tree. Look up the tree. Gaze at what you see. Stay with it for 10 minutes. It's very slow. Now, let me speak about us Coloradans. We have a state of outdoor athletes, pretty much. People who hike, bike, ski, and climb, and all of that. And that's great. That's amazing. But I so deeply believe that if we add to this very intense activities, moments of slowing down, that would be so much more beneficial. My personal favorite is to hike for a couple hours and then have a half an hour sit spot. Just find a nice location. Sometimes even step outside of the trail, maybe 100 feet away, and sit there. And you will see the completely different world. And that brings a different perspective for us. Well, yeah, now let's go to this final, the top of the pyramid. Every year, it's good for you if you spend at least 3 days in the wild nature. It's not only about your health or emotions, it's about meaning of life. It's about reflection. It's about contemplating, is my life going in the direction I want to? And why is it better? I mean, you can contemplate where your life is going sitting inside your house. That's true. And you're still better if you do this. But then you're outside. You have a different perspective. You are thinking outside of your box. And you are connecting with your powerful self, with your true self. You are making a vision based on your best self rather than tired, exhausted. And from your tunnel vision self. So David Strayer is a professor at the University of Utah, and he pretty much discovered this 3 days effect on nature. He proved that when you spend 3 or more days, consecutive days on nature, something very profound happens to you. In terms of making meaning of your life, in terms of connecting to your values, I mean, creativity, by the way, increasing usually 50%, 50% increase in creativity. Again, I don't know any other way to increase creativity that much. And an important thing which we experience when we are in the wild nature for 3 days or longer, it's inevitable that you will come across beautiful, amazing places that which will induce an emotion of awe. And the emotion of awe, just this life-expanding emotion, it's on this brink between extreme pleasure and a fear. That's how scientists define it. It's extreme pleasure and fear. And the vastness of what you see, that's what induces this emotion. And it literally breaks limits in your head. You literally feel limitless and connected. And that speaks to the crisis of meaning in our society.
I think that is such a powerful point. And all that's going on in my brain right now is how commercialized we have made nature, right? There's glamping and there's, you know, I think about like the campsites where everybody's just lined up. And it's all about the drinking at the campsite and the music you're playing. And there's a place for that. But I don't think that's quite what we're talking about, right? We're actually talking about stillness and quiet and you, and maybe not going alone. I personally would not do that alone. I don't think that would be a little too far out of my own comfort zone. But doing something a little bit out of your comfort zone, maybe it is with a friend or it's in a small group, but that you're all like-minded about the mission and the purpose of this immersion into nature. Have there been anybody looked at like, oh, okay, if it's commercialized, we don't really get a benefit. But if it's, you know, really as natural as possible and we're as disconnected from real life as possible and entrenched in this whole new universe as possible, we get, you know, all these different benefits.
Well, I think intention makes the whole difference. Then you rent a campsite and bring your camper and all you intend to do is to drink and listen to music. That's going to be your experience. The fact that it's in the beautiful settings will have probably slight difference for you and some effect, but not as profound as if you have this intention that I didn't come to hear to listen music. I came here to connect with the modern human world and with myself, because we are part of nature. And disconnection with nature is disconnection with ourselves. I'll give you this example. The example is not about 3 days or more nature. It's about smaller time, but still, I was doing this forest bathing walks when I was living in Houston. And I was doing it at a nearby state forest. There was a woman once in a group. She said that it's so interesting. I go to this forest almost every week, but I'm always wearing my headphones. I'm listening to the music. And with you, meaning in my group, then we were just quiet, just looking and sensing and opening up our senses. It looks so different, as if I am discovering this place for the first time. Yes, of course she was discovering this place for the first time, because our experience is what we choose to attend to. If you go with headphones, that's going to be your experience. Nothing wrong with that, but those are two different experiences.
I love that. And I think it is something, even if you're going for a walk in your park, right? What do? We walk with a friend and we talk. We got our headphones in to listen to the podcast or the music or whatever it is. We like distraction. And yet when we're distracted, we're literally distracted from all the benefit that we could be getting if we were just noticing nature, noticing the flowers, noticing the trees, noticing the birds, noticing the wind on your face, right? And it is something, again, like the whole intentionality about it. Before we wrap up, I want to talk about the summit that you have coming up, Figure It Outside. Yeah. Super exciting. And I was really grateful to get to be part of it. So let's tell the listeners about that. It's coming up in just a few days. So I want to make sure that people can get registered in time.
Yes. So the idea of the summit came to me when I realized that, as I said before, it's tragic that we are not aware how powerful and accessible, because it's free, nature can be. It's such a huge resource which we are not using and we don't know what we're missing out on. So the idea was to bring together experts who actually work on this intersection of nature and human growth so they could speak about mindfulness and nature, the benefits of outdoor and nature, contemplative practices, nature travel, spirituality and nature. We didn't touch on that, also quite a big topic. And also would share not only their knowledge and experience, but some practical tools. So to register for this conference, you just need to go to www.figureitoutside.com. figureitoutside.com. The registration is free and you will get access to all these amazing interviews of amazing experts. People are so inspiring. The work they're doing, it's so inspiring. So, and it's my mission. I feel like it's my mission to bring this to a broader audience. I honestly think mostly about people who live in big cities, who, as you said, don't necessarily have nature in their backyard, not surrounded by grass fields or prairies or mountains. But if you are intentional, you still can reap the benefits of what nature has to offer in all its forms. And then at different stages of your life, you might be needing different ways of nature.
Well, Jenya, I love what you're doing. I love that you're bringing this conversation forward, because I 100% am in alignment with what you see and what you think. And I know the benefit, because I know how I feel when I get out and get outside. And, you know, even when I'm like, oh, but I have to drive an hour to go paddleboard and why bother? Once I'm there, I'm like, I'm so glad I did this, right? And that's like our little obstacle to get over. Yes, sometimes there's hoopla. That's why I call it, there's hoopla involved. But you go through the hoopla so that you can get that benefit. Because if you consistently choose not to, you will get no benefit. So listeners, I hope you sign up for the summit. We'll have all the information to connect in the show notes as well. And, you know, let Jenya take you on a nature retreat or on a forest bath. I'm sure you have those things going on. Let's tell them a little bit about that before we sign off today.
Yes. So then what you can immediately do, you can go to my website, spiritualsherpa.net, and I have free resources. So one of the resources is this nature pyramid, just there, because for people, sometimes it's difficult to comprehend just listening. So I have a visual. You can download it for yourself and see this. What are your daily minimum of nature? Vitamin N. What is your weekly, monthly, and yearly dose of vitamin N? So another resource which you can get from this, from my website, is a checklist. Pretty much it's an action plan that you kind of can follow through what you can do to increase the presence of nature. Very doable things like going to the park, like moving your office desk to close to the window and stuff like this. So those are free resources which you can do on your own. If you sign up for my email list, I will inform you about the next retreat I have. So my nature retreats, they're designed for people who need to think about their life, so who are in some sort of transition. They either need to find their new identity or decide what their next steps, what's the next chapter in life. And it can be triggered by a lot of things, loss or change of job, change in marital status, like divorce, for example, grieving, sudden illness. So people need this time to process, and there is no better place than to do it in a small group of people moving and outside.
And that is why we figure it outside. I love it. This has been such a delightful conversation. Thank you so much for joining today and sharing all of this with the audience. Everybody listening, I know there's a lot to digest and absorb. Maybe you'll first take a time out and go outside. And even just by doing that, you're going to be a better being. So thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Be a Better Being podcast. Michelle and Sasha hope that what you heard today inspires you to embrace this journey of life with an open mind, a kind heart, and a willingness to learn and evolve. If you enjoyed the content, please help spread their message by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a 5-star review. If you have a show topic idea or would like to be a guest, please visit betterbeings.net and fill out a contact form. Until next time, go and be a better being.